This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Never trust anyone over 30 is the expression. The World Wide Web turns 30 today. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. First, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau's newish director, Kathy Craninger, is scheduled to go before the Senate Banking Committee today to talk about her agenda. The Bureau's leadership has come under fire for pushing to roll back some protections, including ones governing predatory payday lending, Marketplace's Renata Sego reports.
When Craninger appeared before the House Financial Services Committee last week, things got heated. Chairwoman Maxine Waters of California grilled the director on enforcement of fair lending regulations.
Do you believe that it has been weakened and that it needs to be restored?
I believe that it has indeed been strengthened, Chairwoman, with the
way that
The tone in the Senate hearing should be less tense, according to Chris Willis with the law firm Ballard Spahr, which represents banks. He says that's because Republicans run the Senate committee, and they believe payday lending is already regulated enough.
And that it's important to not just extinguish an entire industry based on the sentiments of consumer advocates.
But there will be more tough questions for Craninger, according to the University of Utah law professor Christopher Peterson.
Democrats on the committee that are running for president are going to be very skeptical of her consumer protection track record.
One of those senators is Elizabeth Warren of Massachusetts, who proposed the CFPB in the first place. I'm Renata Sego for Marketplace.
Checking markets, FTSE in London is up a 0.1%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are mixed at the moment. If you use powerful reading glasses or maybe a photographer's magnifying loupe, you might just be able to discern a bit of flexibility in an overnight European Union offer concerning the UK's departure. The deadline for something is 2 weeks from this Friday. The British Parliament will consider this subtle EU move today, possibly the first of several crucial votes on British exit this week. Anu Anand, BBC Marketplace in London, is following this for us. Hi, Anu.
Hi, David.
So British organizations and businesses were feeling things were deeply uncertain when they went to bed last night. Given new developments, is there any new sense of a path forward?
No, not really. Her vote to get this withdrawal deal through is still expected to fail. We have a vote tomorrow to take no deal off the table. So, you know, the basic parameters, nothing's really changed.
To take no deal off the table. In other words, do you want a no deal, crash out or Brexit? Parliament might vote on that. And then come Thursday, there what? Might be a vote to delay Brexit?
Well, what other option is there, right? The only likely path forward is Mrs. May going back to the EU with Parliament giving her this mandate on Thursday and saying, we need a substantial delay.
Now, if one is running an organization, a business, having to make plans more than 3 weeks from now, this is a difficult situation.
The only good news I've heard from all of this is that those with warehouse spaces are doing really well because everybody's stockpiling supplies. But a delay would at least mean that there's not going to be any significant disruptive changes. There certainly seems to be a strong appetite within Parliament to avoid that.
My colleague, Anu Anand in London, thank you so much.
Thanks, David.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next,
we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
The thing that changed the world, the World Wide Web, was born in 1989, 30 years ago today. My colleague, Molly Wood, host of our program Marketplace Tech, got on the line from Northern California. Greetings, Molly.
Hi, David.
So although the U.S. was at the forefront of developing the Internet, it looks like the World Wide Web came out of Switzerland at the hands of a British scientist.
Exactly, which is sort of appropriate when you think about the original vision of the web as this global decentralized network of information that could be accessible and available, they hope, to make the world a better place.
Yeah, well, that's the problem, though. Has it, did it, will it, as we go forward, right?
Right. And you, in fact, see some of those early architects of the web and the internet really worried, really essentially saying the web is broken. For a lot of different reasons. One, because of the business model, you know, that advertising has become this default business model, which leads to more and more surveillance and less privacy and more consumption. And then that the internet is increasingly not decentralized. In fact, it's controlled by a handful of companies, and that information is less available and less reliable than it was for arguably the first 30 years.
So is there any, on this 30-year milestone, is there any hope for the internet as we move forward?
I think there's some hope. The biggest concern that early pioneers of the web have is that the web is going to splinter and essentially balkanize, that China will have its version of the internet, which it essentially does already, but that Europe might also, that Russia might also, that the U.S. internet might be this unregulated place that's totally different. And where the hope lies is that there could be this global body of stewards, like a United Nations for the web, of people who whose job it is to protect it and make sure that the next 30 years are still about connecting everyone and not just some people in the ways that their government wants them to be connected.
And that's what the key inventor who published the paper 30 years ago, Tim Berners-Lee, he's working on that now, right? He's got a foundation.
Yeah, he's actually created a new foundation and literally new companies in order to try to protect the open web and people's data. He's created this product called Solid, which is essentially a platform where users would be able to create these little digital pods of their own information. And then companies could build apps or services on that platform and access the information only with our permission, which I know is a remarkable concept. But yes, he is essentially at work saying, when the next half of the globe comes online, I want them to have a better internet than we have now.
Molly Wood is the host of our sibling program, Marketplace Tech. Molly, thank you so much.
Thanks so much, David.
6 years ago, I spoke with Tim Berners-Lee, the web inventor. Given the digital assaults on democracy we've seen in recent years, his comments back then seem now, I don't know, prescient or ironic, you tell me.
Democracy involves people being informed, being able to communicate, being able to hold each other accountable, and all that absolutely depends on the neutral internet.
Tim Berners-Lee speaking with me in 2013. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.